Dr. George. Fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be really, really quick because of the time factor and because usually I can't do this presentation in half an hour and because many of the points have already been covered by people in unexpected ways in the course of the day. For those of you who have never been to Mortlake or don't know where Mortlake is in the middle of the southwest of Victoria, we are the Mortlake and District Historical Society. Until 5 years ago, it was Mortlake and District Historical Society. So took in Mortlake, Hexham, Warrandoo to the north, Darlington, Knocknurrett, Ellerslie, not Chatsworth. You know what historical societies are like. We have this very oddly defined district, and some parts are in it and some parts aren't. But these days, 5 years into our Facebook life, it's very much Mortlake and the world, because we have people visiting us every day, Canada, United States, Scotland, Germany, South Africa, etc. So our district has expanded. Now, I call it the Facebook juggernaut, and before anyone yells out, our group isn't there. I spent many hours last weekend, because it's 10 months since I gave this presentation. This is the seventh time I've done it, and each time I do it, in the week before, I go onto Facebook and I try to find out how many Victorian historical societies, regional and metropolitan, have taken up the Facebook challenge. And in the 10 months since I last gave the presentation, I found probably about 30 more last weekend. Finding them is difficult because it depends how they style themselves. And if you do a search, such and such district historical society, you get weird and wonderful things, but you don't necessarily find all of them. So I think in the course of last Sunday afternoon, I added about 25 to this list, making it around about 90 Victorian, metropolitan and regional historical societies that I am aware of. It doesn't mean that there aren't more, there will be. Now, you're free to say, someone, my group's not there. No? Because there'll be a... which one is it? You'll find it on the next page. Anyhow, see, even the RHSV has a page. Now, this is what I was getting at, that it's not just historical societies. There are obviously family history groups. I have several of my own family history Facebook pages that are closed pages, closed groups. Unbelievably successful, unbelievably wonderful tools if you are researching family history, organising a family reunion, etc. So there are lots and lots of those, obviously. Museums now have their own Facebook pages, but there are these special interest groups, including Traralgon there. So these might or might not be historical societies. They could be informal, unofficial groups or individuals showcasing the history of a particular area. And so Daylesford and Hepburn Lost History and Photos. I think many of you who do visit Facebook, who might have your own Facebook pages, will appreciate that increasingly there are lots of these lost places, you know, lost Mortlake, lost Sorrento sites popping up. Craigieburn Historical Interest Group, Geelong and South Western Rail History Group, etc., etc., etc. Pioneer Graves in the Morning Cemetery. Now, why didn't I carry out that search? See, finding things is really tricky because of how it's named, of course. Yeah. Yeah. I'll have a look. Pioneer Graves in the Mornington Cemetery. Right. There you go. Well, there goes tomorrow. Obviously, historical attraction groups, which might be money-making enterprises, businesses, they have theirs as well. And we have our closed groups. And I suppose most of you are familiar with the closed group. Membership by invitation, basically. So you have to actually request to be allowed access to it. Particularly useful for family history groups, as I said. Family history Facebook pages.
Friends groups as well.
Sorry?
Friends groups.
Friends groups, yeah.
Friends of Church
of Ireland. There you go. Okay, why Facebook? Well, obviously it's accessible. How many of you have your own personal Facebook pages? About half, roughly, yep. It's just inordinately popular. It's become much more popular in recent years with more senior groups within the population because, of course, it's a great way for people to stay in touch with children, grandchildren, and so on and so forth. There's been a significant shift in the demographic using Facebook, but most people can access it via... if not their computer, then an iPad, mobile phone, and so on. It's easy to access, and I'll come back to that in a minute. You do end up with a potentially global audience, which has been our experience, and I just can't believe that I can wake up one morning, log on, and there's a comment from a woman in the far north of Scotland commenting on something that I'd posted the night before, and it's nice. You don't have to be technologically highly developed to use it. I certainly wasn't when I set it up 5 years ago. I did have my own personal Facebook page 5 years ago, but when I set up the Historical Society Facebook page, I didn't have, and I probably still don't have all the skills that I could have, but it just goes to show that you don't need that many of them. Most people could probably navigate their way through the behind-the-scenes part of the Facebook page quite easily. The two-way communication is great. I say two-way communication, but it's multi-way communication because you can end up, as some of you will appreciate, communicating with 3, 4, or 50 people all at once. It's not just a two-way dialogue. Again, I'll come back to that in a few seconds. And it's interactive, which is nice, always nice. And, of course, it's free. We no longer have a web page. We killed off our website a couple of years ago now. We had a VicNet website. It was sort of killed off for us. But we were going to go down the path of creating a new website. We're not going to now. We're just not going to bother. Everything that we would... we can do more through our Facebook page than we can do through a website. We use it to post the obvious things like photos and potted histories, although that's changing. When I say it's changing, having written many hundreds and hundreds of biographical profiles in the last few decades, it's very easy for me to take a long story about a high-profile woman in the 1850s in Mortlake and turn it into a potted biography, perhaps 150, 200 words, throw in a few photos, and there's a post. I can do it in a few minutes, and that will be keeping the troops happy for 24 hours or so. But increasingly, I'm finding that people will read them or not read them. And I know that they're not necessarily reading them now because... if I post a photo, you might get 50 likes in an hour, or you might get 30 comments in half an hour. But with the potted biographies, which are text-based and several hundred words, and God forbid, take time to read, and these days people don't like to read a lot of information, I'm finding that the responses aren't there. It's not that people are saying we don't like them. It's not that they're not reading them, it's just that they're not responding to them in the same identifiable ways. We promote events, our own events, other groups' events as well. We're happy to promote other historical societies' events should they approach us and say, hey, would you mind promoting this event for us? So if Woolsthorpe were running something, you might contact us. And I think, well, we don't have a problem. It's no skin off our nose. We can help you promote your event. We promote our own publications, books, particularly in the lead up to Christmas. We have a few books that I've co-written, Pioneer Histories, Family Histories, Fire Brigade History, etc., etc. Around about 6 weeks before Christmas is a good time to remind people out there, hey, have you thought about that unique Christmas present? And we sell more books through our Facebook page now than we ever did via our website. Again, I've covered that pretty much. The Mortlake Dispatch very often runs an item in the weekly newspaper, and so it's a simple matter of copying the URL from the online version of the newspaper and placing it as a posting, and it's an immediate hit. The reason for that is because, A, the newspaper's okay with it. B, we've generally had young journalists who are keen to find out, you know, to promote the history of and events in the local area. But also remember that the vast majority of the people who visit our Facebook page are either ex-Mortlake people who haven't lived there for 20, 50, 70 years, or who have relatives there or something. And so they don't ever see the local rag. But if you have an article in the online version of the newspaper and you can include it on the Facebook page, it gives a much bigger audience to that item. What do we post? We post the usual photos, now and then photos. I'm sure we all understand that they're generally very, very well received. Deb Ball photos, although after this afternoon I'm going to go home and take down every photo post-1955. The Deb Ball, just in case, the Deb Ball photos are hugely, tremendously successful and popular. Why? Because you can get 30, 40 people from the 1960s, oh sorry, 50s or 40s, and the big hair and the leg of mutton sleeves and all that, and it generates hundreds of comments from people who are in those photos, looking back 40, 50 years, having a great old time reminiscing. So it's the dead ball photos, the school photos, and the sports photos which are always the most responded to.
Do you find that photos that people have a living memory on are more...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Coming to that. Yeah, I'm very, very conscious now that I will select... Because I tend to rotate photos, and I used to do a new cover photo every day. I did that for several years, and now I drip feed people a bit more and change it weekly, or maybe two a week. And I alternate old, more recent. But it's the more recent ones that resonate with the audience much more so. I mean, people do enjoy seeing old streetscapes, but they don't mean as much as the 1968 Deb Ball, you know? They're there, and they're describing their dresses and their shoes. And occasionally, did you know? The last time it snowed in Mortlake was October 30th, 1980. You know, just a simple factoid type thing. And half an hour later, you've got other people sharing photos. They've been trawling through their boxes of photos and drawers and quickly scanning them to post them as well. And it's a way of us getting of supplementing our own photographic collection. Trivia quizzes, just sometimes, you know, three or five short questions, and nobody ever gets the answers, and that's a lot of fun. And they wait and they wait and they wait until I give them the answers. So that comes back to the communication, the connectivity, the interconnectedness. There's a bit of a dialogue. I've never met the people, but I probably haven't met the people, but they know of me, and over the years I've learnt to know of them, and so there's that interesting cyber relationship happening. That thank goodness I don't have to send Christmas cards to all of them. Again, event promotions. I gave a presentation in Mortlake, I wrote a presentation, which we staged in Mortlake 2 weeks ago, tomorrow. And we promoted it on our Facebook page, and I'd given a dry run of it at Birchip a month ago through the RHSV presentation. And then we did a different version of it 2 weeks ago, promoted it. And we had 75 people turn up to a freezing cold Anglican church on a Sunday afternoon to be part of this presentation. Now, $75, 75 people is nothing to sneeze at. Wouldn't have happened had we just relied on the local newspaper, perhaps, or the Historical Society newsletter. And of course, the advantage of doing it via Facebook, promoting events, you can blitz it. You can send a notification out 2 weeks before, a week before, 3 days before, the morning of, and an hour before, and remind people and get a little bit of enthusiasm going for it. And we love linking to other groups such as, Woolsthorpe, our neighbouring. And the reason I keep referring to Graham here is because this morning there I was minding my own business on the ferry from Queenscliff, all by myself out in the front of the ferry, and this complete stranger comes up to me and says that he's on his way to Sorrento for an historical presentation day. And I said, hey, guess what? And he said, oh, I'm interested in Facebook. I said, hey, guess what? And we're from adjoining historical societies, Woolsthorpe next to Mortlake, more or less. So that's why I'm doing that. And it's interesting how many surrounding groups have taken up the Facebook challenge in last 12 months. Now, here we go. This is the without doubt, this is the most popular photo, which I tend to post every 8 to 10 months or so, and the reason I repost it is because our demographic changes and our followers change. We have the people who are following us now are not the people who were following us 6 months ago or 12 months ago. So if they've just recently come on board, they wouldn't have seen this, whereas others would have. But others who have seen it before love seeing it again. Now, wait on. No, sorry. Hit the wrong button. Getting there. Yes. Where's right. Oh. We'll get there. Da 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 da. Right. This woman here, Doris, is our 94-year-old treasurer. And this woman up here in the middle is our 85-year-old membership secretary, Joanne. And sadly, most of the women in this photo are no longer around, although a few are. About half a dozen of them are. Now, this is 1952. It was a football match, the Darlington Derrinallum women's football team. So 63, 64 years ago. Tremendous hit, because every time I post it, there are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of comments from people in their 20s, 30s, 40s saying, why didn't anyone ever tell me Nana played football? They just had no idea. Now, that's okay. something happened this week which took everything off in a new direction. And that's the thing about the Facebook presence. You can never guarantee where you're going to go. You can never guarantee who's going to take you in that new direction. So, this week, this woman here emailed me this photo. And she said, you really need this photo because this is the opposing team. These are the women who played the other women that Saturday in 1952. And she had all the names. Now, these are from Derren Allum. And they're not part of our world at all. But I posted it. Unbelievably, unbelievably popular, successful, and it garnered... Now, I don't measure likes. Well, I don't measure the success of the page in terms of likes, because likes are just, you know, people sitting there saying, yeah, like, click, click, click. But when you get 15 new likes in the space of a few minutes, that's a whole new audience. Now, overnight, this went to 2,500 people. And apart from the fact that Helen, who sent the photo, said the photos need to belong together, and they now are on the page, it's opened up a whole new audience for our page as well. And it's, again, taking us in different directions. Okay, as I said, we've got a changing demographic. Initially, generally local people, now people all around the world. Initially, women in their 50s and 60s and 70s, it's no longer necessarily predominantly women. I'd say it's about 50-50, and you can, of course, go behind the scenes and check out who your audience is, how many males, how many females, what age group, but more importantly, younger people, 20s, 30s and 40s, definitely. Many of our visitors are locals or people who once lived locally, who grew up in the age of, you know, post-World War II soldier settlement. And any time you post anything about the soldier settlement years, the 1950s and the 1960s, that triggers huge response rate, because those people are now... They were kids then and they're now in their 60s and 70s. And again, they are great to have, not only because of their anecdotes, but because they have photos and they love posting the photos. And we wouldn't get the photos otherwise. We have so many people who've never been to Mortlake. But my favourite... the thing I'm proudest of is that the lifestyle coordinator at Abbeyfield House, so our residential care facility, puts the residents in front of the big screen on a Friday afternoon, and she takes them through the Facebook postings, and she says what it does for patients with dementia is extraordinary. It triggers conversation, recognition, reflection. And I'll come back to that on the very last slide. Apparently they love it. So, yes, it does increase membership. People will say that having a Facebook page doesn't necessarily increase your membership. It does. It can do, depending on how you do it. Sometimes it's a little nudge, a little gentle reminder. Hey, with Christmas coming up, have you thought of giving an unusual gift in the form of a gift membership to a family member? Something like that. I estimate that probably 10 new members a year we get through Facebook. Our membership's generally about 130. For a small country historical society, it's not a bad effort. No doubt that it raises the group's profile. We know that through the immediate responses and the multi-level communication. One thing I have to be very careful about monitoring is that I'll post something, someone will respond, someone else will say, oh my God, I haven't chatted to you in 45 years. What are you doing now? How all the, What? How many kids have you got? And I have to hide all that because I just don't want our page to be hijacked. And people don't realise that's what they're doing. So I just discreetly hide them, and they don't know that I'm hiding them. It's a great power trip too. Yes, we do increase. We increase our photo collection enormously all the time, and we almost never get any family history queries now via email. They come to us via messages on the Facebook page, and we benefit the local economy because maybe half a dozen times a year, people who have always meant to come to Mortlake from Queensland or Tasmania or New Zealand, and I've had people from. I think once from America, they get so caught up in what's happening in the page that they make the trip, the pilgrimage eventually, which can't be a bad thing. Now, there are risks, there are issues. I'd be a fool if I said there weren't. Not all members support it. Not all members think it's a great idea. And if they don't, there's nothing I can do or say or show them to change their mind. People are in support of it, people are hostile to it, and that's the reality. I strive to maintain quality, quality in terms of the postings. I try to ensure that no photo I ever post is potentially offensive. We heard a reference earlier today to embarrassing photos being posted. I'll go to great lengths. I won't ever post a photo of someone's house. I might post an old photo of a house, but I won't post a photo of someone's house today for any reason. You make mistakes, and the reason I've included that graphic there is because that we had a cemetery tour. That is Jeannie, or a depiction of Jeannie Ferry, an Aboriginal employee of Morang Station, who died and was buried on the station. And as a follow-up that night to our cemetery tour, because it was the most popular story I told during the cemetery tour that afternoon, I decided to tell her story. Overnight, there were 6,500 people that it had gone to. I woke up the next morning and there were hundreds of comments. And simply by virtue of the fact it was about an Indigenous person, it went off in directions I could not have anticipated. And I was just a little bit nervous about where it might be headed because there were some political comments, and we don't want that. We don't want our Facebook page to be used for grandstanding purposes and for political purposes and so on and so forth. So it was a simple matter of removing the graphic, and that was the end of that. But it just showed me how you can never anticipate group reaction. I don't mean all the reaction was negative. A lot of it was incredibly positive, but it was just making me a little bit nervous. And as I have always argued, it doesn't replace what we do. It simply supplements what we already do. And now, you have to be, you have to have multiple administrators. I'm the one who manages it, but I have two co-administrators. So if I'm away next week and I'm going to be in China in a week's time, I'm not going to have access to it. I simply say to the secretary, you're in charge. That you've got to have multiple administrators because it's happened before. Something has happened. I've been away. Virginia has contacted me and said, I hope it's okay. I just hit a comment or I removed something. I just wanted to play it safe. And you have to have multiple administrators. I've talked about privacy. Watermarking images is a good idea. A little bit time-consuming, but probably a good idea, particularly for very, very special photos. Now, establishing protocols. Sorry about... I'm better off without the microphone. I'm a born and bred teacher. I yell. Right. I've created a set of protocols, and I've made 30 copies. If anyone would like one of those to take with them, by all means do so. I created them in consultation with the president and the secretary, and it was passed so that We need guidelines on what sort of photos we will publish, consent regarding public. I will always ask somebody if they send me a photo, are they okay with it, such as the second. Even though that woman, Helen, had sent me that other football photo, and I could tell she was champing at the bit for me to post it, I formally asked her for permission to post it. Family histories. We never, ever, ever use our Facebook page to talk about family histories, to provide family history details. That's in the realms of privacy as far as I'm concerned. Take it offline. Well, not so much offline. Here's the email address. Communicate with us via email. No, if somebody is asking for information on their family, it's a quick, please email me at the email address. Occasionally, I think a couple of times, someone's posted something about their own family with perhaps just too much detail, and I think, no, we'll hide that or we'll remove that, and I'll contact them and say, communicate with me away from the page. Because I just don't want to ever get into strife for putting anything to do with a particular individual within a family on the page. We also have guidelines for what we'll promote, what we won't promote. And one of the other things I had there amongst the protocols was be vigilant. Only once have I ever banned someone. It was someone who... I've hidden comments. I'm still hiding comments, simply because I think they're boring or not necessary or will just clog up the works a bit. But I did once ban someone who made a highly offensive comment. Thankfully, I'd captured it within... Because I have no life and I sit there and I watch these things appear before my eyes, I was able to capture it and delete it really quickly. The person, as I always tell the story, the person then suddenly realised, oops, wrong, had made the comment in regard to someone and he had been totally wrong. He'd got it all wrong. Pity, because he was banned. I just clicked the ban button and no questions asked, no discussion entered into, you will never visit this page again. So, if you had to do it, retribution can be swift and irrevocable. And lastly, I'm getting there. I've solicited from our fan base, I suppose, some comments to include, and people were very quick this week when I said, hey, off to Sorrento, talking about you lot, if you're enjoying this, give me some comments and I can relay them to the people at Sorrento. It makes history immediate, modern. The effortlessness of being in touch keeps people more interested because you can do it easily and access information wherever they are, even out in the middle of a paddock. It also enables... I get the impression every time I read that about someone sitting on a tractor bombing up and down with the mobile phone and Facebook. It also enables people to quickly inform others about information, so it spreads the news easily. Couldn't agree more. People who used to live in a certain area can renew memories wherever they live in the world. There's this woman in Scotland. She her sister settled in the Mortlake area in the 1940s, and she used to come out and visit in the 50s and 60s, and now she's a very, very senior woman back living in Scotland, and she walks, in her mind, she walks the streets of Mortlake every day of her life now. And she said that the other day in one of her postings. Local history information, memories of childhood for my memoir writing, nostalgia, contact with old friends, great photos, just love it, says Beryl. The page allows productive interaction between the society and members and those who can contribute to the history with additional snippets of information, and that's where it all comes together. It's not me providing information to others, it's us getting new information that I had no idea about. While having the thrill of seeing a relative in a picture or mentioned in a story, the page also gives a wonderful history of the lifestyles and buildings of years gone by. A fantastic help for family history researching. And as I said, we do use that, do use it for that now. great to see photos of people we grew up with. And this is the one I was referring to. As the leisure and lifestyle coordinator at Abbeyfield, I just wish to let you know how much the residents enjoyed seeing themselves and friends on this page. It's a real reminiscent tool for them. Many a laugh was shared today after viewing the photos. It was a delight for one resident to see her husband in the fire brigade photo. And finally, love this page, a wonderful way to jolt the memory. The fantastic time capsule with varied pics from school, sports, businesses, architecture and lifestyles. We've been able to connect with friends and attend events promoted. So it's become hugely social. It's become very, very interactive. It's not necessarily solely historical. More and more, we're becoming part of the extended local community because, for example, the Mortlake Artists Group, which has recently formed, has its Facebook page. And so there's a bit of cross-pollination there, because some of the people in the Historical Society are members of the artists group. And I'm sure it's true for most, particularly rural communities, where you have several groups with Facebook pages. It's a way of value-adding to the local community, and simply because of the accessibility factor that I referred to. And I almost made it, George.